In this episode of the Smart City podcast, I interviewed another self-confessed data addict and fellow member of the Smart City Council Emerging Innovators, Claire Daniel. I'll start by saying that everything we discuss in this episode is personal opinion only and does not represent the companies we work for and is not associated with these companies in any way. Now with that out of the way, Claire is a town planner at heart and loves exploring exciting ways to use data to make our lives better. She studied a master's degree in smart cities and urban analytics at the University College London. This is where she learnt to code, amongst many other things. She thinks cross-disciplinary learning is so important to make smart decisions, as well as using data to monitor the outcomes of these decisions to enable us to make even better decisions in the future. She is keen to see what innovations will come from having more time to do more exciting tasks when the administrative tasks are taken over by automation. As always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with Smart City experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hey Claire, how are you going?
Hey Zoe, I'm good.
That's good. How's your Monday night in Sydney?
Oh, it is quite humid. Very humid.
So let's dive straight into this podcast.
Sure.
So we'll start with your background. So tell us a bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, I suppose I'm really a town planner at heart. I did my undergraduate in town planning at the University of Queensland, actually. So I come from Brisbane originally.
Oh, cool.
And I worked in Brisbane at the local council there for a number of years after finishing my degree. But while I was there, I was very fortunate. I was part of a rotational program and I got to see all the kinds of things that council did and that town planners did whilst working for a local council. And I found that the bit that I really enjoyed the most was the data and the digital mapping and the geographic information systems. And I thought there was just a lot to it that wasn't. There were a lot of opportunities there. There was a lot of things that I felt could be done that perhaps weren't being done. So I went and did my master's in London at the University College of London, a degree called Smart Cities and Urban Analytics. So I went over there and learned to do all sorts of cool things like programming and some advanced modeling. And I've since come back and found a job in Sydney as a consultant.
When was that? When you went over and did your master's?
Yeah, so I went over in 2015. So I was very fortunate. I got a John Monash scholarship to go across and do the master's degree.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's my background.
That's cool. And so now you've come back to Australia and you're working in Sydney?
Just probably haven't quite been back for 12 months, maybe almost exactly 12 months now that I've been back in Australia, I'd say.
Yeah, cool. So what sparked your interest in the smart city space?
So the smart cities really came from my work as a town planner with the council in Brisbane. It was very much, I suppose, I'm very data-driven. I'm very interested in big data and what data can tell us about how cities function and improving how we do town planning and make decisions about where we invest in cities. There's all sorts of things that, because cities are such big and complicated places. There's so many things in them that traditionally keeping track of all of this was an incredibly labor intensive task. If you wanted to do a survey of your city and send people out with clipboards to record every single house, it could take a decade and then it would all be out of date. But that's no longer the case anymore. And it's about what my interest is in starting to realize this and, see where that can take us, I suppose, in terms of making better decisions and having much better evidence base for kind of running and managing our cities.
Yeah, cool. So are there any particular technologies that you've kind of come across that you're really interested in exploring, or are you more interested in what those technologies can do for data and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think my interest lies perhaps not so much in fancy new technologies, although obviously that's really cool if you go and see drones working and see autonomous cars and I don't know, intelligent t-shirts and all of that kind of thing. That's really cool, but I think my main interest lies in probably the application of technology we've had probably for a while now, but actually applying it in, I guess, government policy work, applying it to town planning analysis, applying it to those kind of things. So it's just maybe the less fancy stuff, just taking advantage of the fact that computers have so much more storage, that computers can process data much faster. I think along with that, cloud computing, I suppose, is a specific technology, is something that I'm very interested in. The fact that you don't have to kind of have a supercomputer in your building. You can use a supercomputer anywhere else in the world and hire out space to do your computing for you is something that is pretty cool. That, again, it's not a new technology, but something that we definitely don't take advantage of to its full extent, I think, in everyday town planning.
Yeah, definitely. Are there any things or projects that you're working on right now that you can tell us about?
So right now I'm working as a consultant. So I've done some time as a public sector person in local government, and now I am finding out what being a consultant's like. And it's been really good. I'm working on various projects across the country. I'm working for a company called SGS Economics and Planning, and we are mostly public sector clients, and we help them with various types of, I suppose, mostly policy analysis, but also economic analysis and business cases. And some of the more interesting things, I suppose, would be looking at infrastructure networks. So often we're doing a lot of work with various education departments planning their school infrastructure network. So I help program algorithms that will look at where students live and where schools are located and calculate, based on their location, what schools they're likely to attend and where extra capacity is required to meet future population growth and student enrollment projections. So that's one thing, but that kind of technique can be applied to any infrastructure network. It's not just schools. It's anywhere where you've got a growing population and need to provide them with some kind of service or some kind of infrastructure. And you can map that out on the computer and run the algorithms and, come up with some very interesting and very useful analysis as well. So that's the kind of thing that I'm working on right now. We do quite a lot of things.
Yeah, cool. Did you, is that what you kind of did in your master's degree?
Yeah, so the master's degree was really good. They taught us some of these techniques. They taught us from basic programming, but also urban modeling, network analysis, various urban models around technical terms, cellular automata, and spatial interaction modeling, so kind of advanced spatial statistics, I guess you'd call it. So for my master's project, actually, I programmed a kind of prototype monitoring system for town planning policy, which would look at development data and land use data. And the idea was that so much of town planning policy, traditionally you make a plan, but hardly anyone ever actually goes back to check whether or not the plan worked, which sounds counterintuitive, but it's something that's pretty well recognized, that the monitoring side of not just town planning policy, but particularly town planning policy doesn't tend to happen, if at all, or if it does happen, it's usually fairly minimal. So, and that's something that I was personally very interested in trying to find a way to improve, because as I mentioned, it's so much easier now. You don't have to send 1,000 people out with clipboards. The data gets collected automatically, and much of it can be analyzed automatically and visualized automatically as well. It's just about applying the technology that we've now had probably for a decade to some of these applications. So that's what I was looking at for my master's project.
It's a really good point about monitoring, these strategic plans and town plans and that kind of thing. You know, we spend so much money on implementing such a plan, and if we can't monitor it appropriately, well, if we don't properly monitor it, I suppose we can, but if we don't do that, then it just seems like money not well spent. But it is typical practice, or was typical practice, whereas I think, yeah, the smart city space will really help improve that area for sure.
Yeah, hopefully. It was a personal frustration for me, I think, during my time. There is a sudden political reluctance, I would say, to doing monitoring properly. But I think more than that, it's just getting used to the idea that it's not so hard anymore. And that most people, I think, still kind of in those management positions, or even elected officials, are still had most of their careers in an era where it was a very time consuming and expensive thing to do.
Yeah, and inaccurate, I suppose, most likely inaccurate by the time you collect the data.
Yeah, exactly. It's usually out of date. If you commission a study, it's usually out of date by the time you finish it, and then you have to do it again. So that's and just building an awareness of what is possible, I suppose, even if. I mean, in a magical world, maybe everyone will be able to get the opportunity and go learn to code and everything like I did. But realistically, I suppose that's not going to happen. But if we can at least build an awareness of what is possible, what can be done, and then connect the right people up and find the right people to do it, that's kind of a step that I see is quite important, that like it's a kind of a prerequisite for a lot of the things to happen, that's not necessarily there yet in every organization.
Yeah. No, I agree. No, it's a really interesting way to think about things, like, yeah, not just the flashy technology, but that monitoring aspect of when we can give. And again, it's interesting because maybe people don't want to know, because the data, you know, spells it out pretty clearly if it's a pass or fail. Well, not pass or fail, but if it's meeting the objectives of what it was supposed to meet or not.
Yeah, and I think it will take a little bit of courage to get over that first hurdle, to be the organization who decides to be that open. But there has been a huge, we've come a long way in the open data movement in Australia. There's a lot of data being released by governments. And the other side of things is that if you don't do it yourself, crowdsource information is possible. So if the community cares enough about something, it is possible for them to source, particularly kind of town planning related information themselves, if it is that if it does become an important issue. So I think it's better to be proactive, I think, as an organization, rather than maybe having to be reactive later and try to catch up with the world around you.
Yeah, no, I agree. If you don't do it yourself, someone else will capture it for you these days.
Yeah, there are lots of ways of capturing this kind of data, and the technology is just going to get better. Image recognition, particularly, I assume that once you have very good object recognition attached to your Google Street View, then, yeah, suddenly all of that information is there, and it's not the public sector necessarily. Yeah.
No, definitely. I see kind of even with Google Street View, you know, you won't need the old Google car driving around, because that technology will just be in everyone's vehicles. So, you know, it'll be at everyone's fingertips. Well, depending on who eventually owns that cloud.
Yeah, it's possibilities, many possibilities.
Yeah, so many possibilities. While we're talking about Australia and the possibilities, where do you think Australia ranks when it comes to smart cities?
That's an interesting question. Because Australia, we have a very good quality of life. Some of the best in the world. And we are doing smart cities things. But in terms of kind of rallying around this smart cities concept and thinking about, and I believe in the smart cities concept as a quite strongly as a way to, I know it can be seen as a bit of a buzzword, but it's a really useful way of thinking systematically and thinking holistically about the influence of technology on cities. And I think it's important to think of it in that way, rather than just letting the transport people go and do their thing and the energy people go and do their thing. It's definitely better to be thinking about it as a broader change or a broader kind of movement. And Australia is only recently started doing that. I think I would say the end of 2015 is when you started seeing for the first time maybe news articles that had the kind of phrase smart cities in them and started doing it seriously. Whereas from my studies overseas, it was quite clear this was not a new phrase at all. We're probably at least 5 years behind, but maybe more, maybe even up to 7 or 10 years in terms of having the smart cities concept as a way of thinking about things, which, again, it hasn't seemingly impacted our quality of life, but it is, I think, important for us to start catching up.
Yeah, definitely. So do you think that there's any places particularly that are good for piloting, you know, smart city concepts or technology in Australia?
I think I'll be loyal to my hometown and say Brisbane. Or some of the advantage of Brisbane is, and some of the other big regional councils as well, is the fact that you have one local government overseeing a kind of almost a complete metropolitan system. So you don't have some of the challenges that other cities, which are carved up into much smaller pieces, management-wise, in terms of trying to bring the information that you're collecting together. So as a town planner, if you have 30 different approval systems for development, but you want obviously information about development, joining all of those systems up is quite a headache. It's something that a place like Brisbane could do and does do, and some of the other big regional councils would be able to do in a way that perhaps other cities with multiple local governments wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, multiple levels would kind of struggle with.
Yeah, and other cities have metropolitan bodies, usually kind of sub-departments of the state, which are good and necessary. But bearing in mind that Australia's had a very checkered history with metropolitan planning, is usually the state regional planning or metropolitan planning bodies. There's a long history of these organizations being set up and then dismantled, and then set up and dismantled, and then set up and dismantled. So any progress that they make tends to be very time limited. We'll see what the current set. I know in Sydney they've got the Greater Sydney Commission, and they're doing great work and great planning, but still a relatively new organization. And even then, they still have the challenge of coordinating through all of these different local governments. That I feel like Brisbane, it's not so hard. Those barriers there aren't there.
Yeah.
At least if we're thinking about smart cities technology and thinking about trying to get systems integrated with each other, there are lots of other great things about having local councils. And I don't mean to. It's a bit of a sidetrack to try to go into them all. I don't mean that there's not advantages to having the other way, and having your system of government closer to the people, and that's great. But from a purely smart city systems integration point of view, having a very strong kind of metropolitan level of oversight where you can collect that information is very helpful.
Yeah. So how do you think we can better integrate across the disciplines, government and industries?
So my idea there is I really think we need people who have knowledge of both. I think like one of my aims, and I was very fortunate to get the support of the John Monash Foundation in doing this, was to be a town planner who knew how to code. I'm not a computer scientist and I'm not a software developer, but I know the principles and I know what can be done. And it's about having people in one discipline who know what can be done in the other discipline, even if they don't know how specifically necessarily how to do it. But it means that those conversations can happen, rather than, potentially not even thinking of solutions that are out there.
Yeah, definitely. So kind of having an appreciation for other areas without necessarily having to know all the nitty-gritty detail, but
yeah,
that appreciation at least starts the conversation.
That can be done through education in an official way. It could be done through the groups such as the Smart Cities Council, and we're setting up the Emerging Innovators Group, and
yes, we are.
That's something which I think could really help here, bringing together people from private sector, from the public sector, from all different backgrounds and walks of life who are interested in smart cities and getting them talking, and that's really exciting. But we need at least some people. We need some town planners. We need some traffic engineers. We need some city managers that know how to code, I would say. Doesn't need to be everyone, but some people need to know how to do it.
Yeah, cool. So do you think that Australia can become leaders in the smart city space? Or do you think we're too far behind?
No, I would say so. I think we can. I think that because we are a relatively young country, at least compared to, say, where I was studying in London, and the other places that I was visiting in Europe, which have to deal with centuries of legacies of infrastructure planning, they're built on centuries of old infrastructure and land. The land registry system in England seems insane. For instance, as a source of data to try to work out what's in your city, whereas we have, just by the fact that most of our urban development has been relatively recent, we don't have maybe some of the same challenges in having to retrofit in the same way. So I think that's a real advantage. We're also a very urbanized country. So yeah, we've got a lot of land, but most of our population lives in cities and lives in only a few big cities, really. So we've got a very concentrated advantage, I would say, as well. So two natural advantages I would think of for Australia in smart city technology. We've also got a very, we've got a well-off population, and we've got a very educated population as well. So we've got the people that can do it. And there's no reason we wouldn't also have the resources to do it as well. So yes. Yes, we can become leaders in smart city technology.
Yeah, cool. What do you think the emerging trends are that people aren't talking about at the moment?
Emerging trends that people aren't talking about.
Yeah.
To answer this question, I think I'm going to try to define there's like talking about and then there's really talking about. So to try to explain, people talk about the fact that jobs will be automated in a broad sense, but my profession, town planners, are not talking about the fact that 90% of every development application written probably in the country can be automated with technology that exists right now, which is something that, if that's your job, it's something that you spend most of your time doing. And there's a lot of administrative work. Again, this is now kind of zooming back into my background as a town planner. There's a lot of administrative work that town planners do. There are a lot of jobs that I had and still have, which involve manually copying and pasting data from one document into a spreadsheet, into another document, into a form that is technically unnecessary if we set the system up correctly. And it's not a matter of the fact that technology doesn't exist to do that. It's the fact that the right people haven't talked to each other, or that the last system it was 10 years old and hasn't been replaced yet. But it can be done. And I think, so that's an example of people are talking about automation, but they're not really talking about automation. And there's quite a few things.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Things I think in smart cities where people talk about it in a very broad terms. We talk about innovation all the time without actually defining what innovation is, or really giving concrete examples of kind of improved ways of doing things. It's about actually being a little more specific, I would assume. Getting those people who actually cross those disciplinary boundaries. So getting the town planners, some of them, getting them learning how to code, getting some computer scientists learning to be town planners. And then these things start to become much more obvious, I think.
Yeah, cool. No, it's a really interesting way of saying it, I guess, because or a good point that you brought up, like the automation. People, yeah, you know, you hear it all the time, oh, yeah, jobs will be automated. But when you think about professional kind of, you know, town planners and even engineers, some of the stuff that we have to do that can be automated, what are we going to do with all our spare time?
Yeah, I'm confident that town planners will find things to do with their spare time. There's all sorts of interesting things that we never get around to.
Definitely.
But it is a big change. It would be nice, I think, if we really seriously started to think about that, rather than, I guess it's my concern that, at least in my profession, as a town planner, I don't want to just be kind of washed away with the current of technology. I want to be controlling it, I suppose, if I can, and contributing to the direction it takes, because I think that will have a better outcome for cities, because there are lots of things that town planners know and community planners know and all sorts of people working in the built environment who aren't computer scientists know that are really important. And about how, I mean, the standard example is you can build an algorithm that will be the most efficient solution. So it will be the shortest. It will tell you the shortest path to this train station, but it won't necessarily tell you what the nicest path to the train station is, or the one that has, you know, there's all these other things that you need to think about in terms of running a city that aren't just, let's be the most efficient we can possibly be, which is a fear, I suppose, and something that it would be very good to avoid. And I think the best way of avoiding it is to make sure that the people who know about that stuff, town planners, people who are used to community planning processes, who are used to political processes, to make sure that they're involved in the decision making rather than just swept along by the kind of tsunami of technology that's coming or is here. Here already.
Yeah, cool. Well, it's been really great to talk to you tonight. I only have one last question, which is how can people connect with you?
So people connect with me probably through LinkedIn. It's the best way to do it these days.
I'll put your profile on the show notes anyway.
Yeah, and also through the Smart Cities Council Emerging Innovators. That is a great way for people to connect with me and with yourself, and lots of other people who are interested in smart cities. So that is, we're launching, and in the next month or so, we'll have things for new people to come to.
Yep.
So that will be really good.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. Yeah, really excited to see where that kind of takes us and, yeah, other cool people that we'll meet along the way. And, yeah, just bringing that kind of young professional's voice to the smart city space will be really exciting. So, yeah.
Looking forward to it. We'll be good.
Well, yeah, thanks again so much for talking with me tonight. And, yeah, we'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good night.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Smart City Pod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.